Thank you for being an amazing supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, home to the history of the Caribbeans. We're excited to have you as a valued member of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes, comments, and reviews mean so much to us. They help us reach a wider audience and inspire us to keep sharing these incredible stories. With new episodes released daily, your feedback plays a crucial role in shaping our content and making it even better. Your dedication and enthusiasm drive our mission to document and celebrate the rich history of the Caribbean. We're deeply grateful for your support. Today, we're thrilled to present Dominican Republic Episode 4, a captivating story tracing the journey from the island's earliest settlers to the present day. So sit back, relax, and join us as we guide you through this fascinating chapter in Caribbean history. Enjoy the journey. Chapter 13, The Rise of Rafael Trujillo and the Path to Dictatorship, 1924 to 1930. The Post-Occupation Era and Political Reconstruction, 1924 to 1928. Following the withdrawal of U.S. forces in 1924, the Dominican Republic sought to rebuild its government, economy, and national identity. The end of the occupation left the nation with modernized infrastructure and a restructured military, but also a deep-seated resentment toward foreign influence. The presidency of Horacio Vázquez, 1924 to 1930, marked the first attempt at stable democratic governance after decades of instability. His government enjoyed relative peace initially, but internal political struggles and economic difficulties soon eroded his administration's strength. Democratic transition. The first peaceful elections in decades led to Vázquez's presidency, giving hope to many for a new era of stability. Economic growth. Improved trade and agricultural expansion bolstered the economy, but much of the wealth remained concentrated among elites. Emerging military influence. The U.S.-trained Dominican National Police, later transformed into the Dominican Army, played a growing role in national affairs, fostering military ambitions within the government. Rafael Trujillo's early life and military rise, 1891 to 1927. Born in San Cristobal in 1891, Rafael Leonidas Trujillo Molina grew up in a modest household, but quickly gained recognition through his ambition and discipline. His path to power was defined by his military career, political cunning, and ability to manipulate those in power. Early life. Worked in various jobs before joining the military, including as a telegraph operator and an accountant. Military training. Received extensive training under the U.S. military during the occupation, benefiting from the restructuring of the armed forces. Rapid promotion. By 1927, Trujillo had ascended to the rank of commander of the National Police, which was later transformed into the Dominican Army, a position that would become pivotal in his eventual rise to dictatorship. Cultivation of power. He built a network of loyal officers and positioned himself as an indispensable figure in the government's stability. The fall of Horacio Vázquez, 1929 to 1930. While Vázquez's presidency was initially seen as successful, by 1929, his administration faced serious challenges. Economic crisis. The Great Depression of 1929 severely impacted the Dominican economy, leading to unemployment, inflation, and widespread financial distress. Political corruption. Allegations of favoritism and mismanagement weakened Vázquez's support among the working class and political elites. Trujillo's opportunism. Using his control over the military, Trujillo positioned himself as a stabilizing force amid the political unrest. The 1930 coup and Trujillo's seizure of power. By early 1930, Vázquez's government had weakened considerably. Trujillo, leveraging his military control, orchestrated a coup d'état under the pretense of national security. The February Revolt, 1930 civil unrest erupted, with Trujillo refusing to suppress rebel forces, effectively allowing chaos to destabilize Vázquez's rule. The rigged election. In May 1930, Trujillo ran for president virtually unopposed, using intimidation, electoral fraud, and state-sponsored violence to secure a 99% victory. Officially president. On August 16, 1930, Trujillo was inaugurated, marking the beginning of one of the longest and most brutal dictatorships in Latin American history. Trujillo's early policies and consolidation of power, 1930 to 1931. Trujillo wasted no time in consolidating his rule, ensuring that every aspect of Dominican society was under his control. Military expansion. The Dominican army was expanded and modernized to secure his rule and suppress dissent. Repression of opposition. Political opponents were arrested, assassinated, or forced into exile. Censorship and propaganda. State-controlled newspapers, radio broadcasts, and educational reforms promoted Trujillo's image as a national hero and protector. Personal wealth accumulation. He began seizing private businesses, plantations, and real estate, enriching himself at the expense of the economy. The cult of personality begins, 1931 to 1932. One of Trujillo's most defining strategies was his creation of a cult of personality, which painted him as the undisputed leader and guardian of the Dominican Republic. Mandatory public loyalty, schools, businesses, and churches were required to display his portrait. Renaming of Santo Domingo. In 1936, the capital city was renamed Ciudad Trujillo in his honor. Religious endorsement. The Catholic Church, under government pressure, endorsed his leadership, further legitimizing his authority. The role of the United States in foreign relations, 1930 to 1935. Despite his authoritarian tendencies, Trujillo maintained a complex relationship with the United States, balancing economic dependency with efforts to assert independence. Good neighbor policy. The U.S. initially avoided direct intervention, as Trujillo presented himself as a staunch anti-communist. Trade and investment. American companies continued to invest in Dominican agriculture, sugar production, and infrastructure. Repression and foreign perception. While Trujillo's brutality was well known, the U.S. prioritized economic stability in the region, largely ignoring human rights violations. Conclusion: the dawn of the Trujillo era. Trujillo's rise to power was characterized by manipulation, military dominance, and political opportunism. While the Dominican Republic had initially sought a path toward democratic stability, it now faced an authoritarian regime that would define its history for decades. By 1931, Trujillo had solidified his control, setting the stage for a rule that would be marked by economic expansion, severe repression, and an unparalleled cult of personality. The next chapter will delve into Trujillo's further consolidation of power, the establishment of a totalitarian state, the infamous 1937 Parsley Massacre, and his growing international isolation. Chapter 14, The Consolidation of Power and the Trujillo Regime, 1930 to 1940. Establishing Total Control, 1930 to 1935. Upon assuming the presidency in August 1930, Rafael Trujillo wasted no time in transforming the Dominican Republic into a totalitarian state. His leadership marked the beginning of an era of unprecedented political repression, economic monopolization, and aggressive nationalism. Trujillo's ability to manipulate the military, suppress opposition, and consolidate economic control enabled him to rule with an iron grip. Elimination of political opposition. Trujillo used intimidation, arrests, and assassinations to remove any threats to his rule. His political enemies either disappeared, fled into exile, or were executed under mysterious circumstances. The cult of personality. To maintain control, Trujillo promoted himself as the savior of the nation, requiring that his image be displayed in homes, businesses, and government buildings. Surveillance and repression. The establishment of the Military Intelligence Service, SIM, ensured that informants infiltrated every level of society. Citizens lived in fear of being reported for even the slightest criticism of the government. Media and propaganda control. The press was entirely censored, with only government-approved publications allowed. Trujillo ensured that history was rewritten in his favor, glorifying his rule as the dawn of a new Dominican era. Economic policies and the expansion of the Trujillo Empire, 1931 to 1937. Trujillo sought to modernize the Dominican economy while ensuring that wealth remained concentrated in his hands and those of his closest allies. Industrial and agricultural expansion. Under Trujillo, sugar, coffee, and tobacco production increased. However, he personally acquired large plantations, making him one of the wealthiest individuals in the Caribbean. Foreign investment and nationalization. Trujillo courted American and European investors, promising them security and stability in exchange for economic partnerships. However, he also nationalized key industries, ensuring that foreign investments benefited him directly. State-controlled enterprises. Trujillo expanded government control over industries such as transportation, manufacturing, and finance, making the economy heavily dependent on his personal oversight. Mass infrastructure development, roads, bridges, hospitals, and schools were built, often bearing Trujillo's name, reinforcing his status as the architect of Dominican progress. The 1937 Parsley Massacre, racial policies, and anti-Haitian sentiment. One of the darkest events of Trujillo's rule was the 1937 Parsley Massacre, a large-scale ethnic cleansing operation targeting Haitians living in the Dominican Republic. Massacre of thousands. Trujillo ordered the execution of tens of thousands of Haitian immigrants in the northwestern border region. Victims were identified using the pronunciation of the Spanish word parigil, parsley. Those who failed to pronounce it correctly were slaughtered. Justification. Trujillo framed the massacre as an effort to preserve Dominican identity and protect national security, tapping into existing racial tensions. International backlash. The massacre drew widespread condemnation from the United States, France, and Latin American nations, but no direct intervention occurred. Haitian-Dominican relations. The event deepened animosity between Haiti and the Dominican Republic, a divide that persists to this day. Foreign relations and U.S. influence, 1935 to 1940. Trujillo's foreign policy was a balancing act between gaining international legitimacy and suppressing external criticism. His ability to manipulate diplomatic relations helped him maintain power. Good neighbor policy. The United States, under President Franklin D. Roosevelt, maintained diplomatic relations with Trujillo despite knowledge of his authoritarian tactics. Anti-communist stance. Trujillo positioned himself as a staunch anti-communist, aligning with U.S. interests during a time when fears of communism were escalating in Latin America. Refugee resettlement program. In an attempt to repair his image after the Parsley Massacre, Trujillo offered to accept Jewish refugees fleeing Europe, though in practice very few were actually resettled. Regional influence. Trujillo attempted to exert influence over Caribbean and Central American politics, providing financial support to sympathetic regimes. Social and cultural transformation under Trujillo. Trujillo's rule was not just about political and economic control. He sought to reshape Dominican society in his image. Mandatory loyalty oaths. All government employees, students, and professionals were required to pledge loyalty to Trujillo. Religious influence. The Catholic Church, once neutral, was coerced into supporting Trujillo, further legitimizing his rule. Rewriting history. School curricula were altered to glorify Trujillo, erasing historical figures who did not align with his vision. Women's role in society. While Trujillo promoted a traditional view of women, he was also infamous for sexually exploiting young women, using his power to coerce them into relationships. Growing dissent and the beginnings of resistance, 1938 to 1940. Despite Trujillo's tight grip on power, cracks began to appear in his seemingly unshakable rule. Small pockets of resistance began forming, particularly among intellectuals, students, and exiled politicians. Underground movements. Dissident groups operated secretly, distributing anti-Trujillo literature and attempting to organize opposition. International criticism. As reports of human rights abuses reached foreign governments, Trujillo's international reputation suffered. Political exiles. Prominent Dominicans who opposed Trujillo, including Juan Bosch, sought support abroad to undermine his regime. Conclusion: the firm grip of a dictator. By 1940, Rafael Trujillo had successfully consolidated power, ensuring total control over the Dominican Republic. His repressive policies, economic centralization, and nationalist agenda set the stage for the next phase of his dictatorship. Trujillo's growing paranoia, fear of internal betrayal, and desire for absolute dominance would lead to even greater repression in the coming years. The next chapter will examine Trujillo's continued rule from 1940 to 1950, the deepening of his totalitarian state, his attempts at regional expansion, and his growing list of enemies, both domestic and foreign. Chapter 15, Trujillo's expansion of power and international influence, 1940 to 1950. The strengthening of Trujillo's regime, 1940 to 1945. By the early 1940s, Rafael Trujillo had reached the height of his dictatorship. His control over the Dominican Republic was absolute, with a tightly controlled economy, a powerful military, and a population living in fear under constant surveillance by the Military Intelligence Service, CIM. Totalitarian control. All political opposition was crushed, and the CIM expanded its operations to monitor and eliminate dissent. Economic control. Trujillo and his family controlled over 80% of the country's wealth, including industries, land, and exports. Cult of personality. His image was promoted as the nation's supreme leader, and mandatory public displays of loyalty were required in schools, workplaces, and churches. Military expansion. Trujillo's military grew to one of the largest and best equipped in the Caribbean, ensuring his absolute dominance over the region. Economic growth and state control, 1940 to 1945. Trujillo continued to build an economic empire, modernizing key industries while ensuring that most profits remained within his family's control. Expansion of sugar and coffee industries. These sectors thrived, but workers were exploited under strict government oversight. Foreign investments and monopolization. Trujillo welcomed American and European investors, but ensured that major industries were either owned by him or operated under his approval. Infrastructure projects. Roads, bridges, ports, and buildings were expanded, many bearing Trujillo's name to reinforce his image as the nation's builder. Creation of state-controlled enterprises. He systematically nationalized industries and placed them under his personal management, controlling transportation, banking, and manufacturing. World War II and Trujillo's diplomatic maneuvers. During World War II, Trujillo sought to position himself as a strategic ally of the United States and the Allied forces, using the war as an opportunity to further solidify his power and diplomatic influence. Declaration of war on the Axis powers, 1941, a largely symbolic move to align with the U.S. and Britain. Naval cooperation with the U.S. Dominican ports were made available to the U.S. Navy, strengthening military ties. Refugee resettlement program. Trujillo offered to accept Jewish refugees from Europe, a move designed to gain international favor, though few actually settled in the Dominican Republic. Economic aid and trade growth. Increased trade with the U.S. boosted the Dominican economy, allowing Trujillo to consolidate his power further. Trujillo's expansion of power, 1945 to 1950. By the post-war period, Trujillo was one of the most powerful leaders in the Caribbean. His ambitions extended beyond Dominican borders, seeking to influence the region. Intervention in Haiti. Trujillo attempted to destabilize Haitian governments and exert control over the border region. Persecution of political exiles. His secret police hunted down exiled Dominicans abroad who opposed his rule. Regional alliances. He strengthened ties with Nicaragua's Anastasio Somoza and other authoritarian leaders in Latin America. Military expansion. He continued to modernize his forces, making them a dominant power in the Caribbean. Human rights violations and international backlash. Despite his economic and diplomatic gains, Trujillo's increasing brutality and repression began drawing international condemnation. Assassination of opponents. Political dissidents were kidnapped, tortured, and killed by the CIM. Mass surveillance and fear tactics. Ordinary citizens lived in fear of government informants and arbitrary arrests. Growing criticism from the U.S. As the Cold War began, the U.S. viewed Trujillo as a liability rather than an ally, particularly as reports of human rights abuses became widely known. The Catholic Church's growing opposition. Initially, the Catholic Church was neutral toward Trujillo, but as his human rights violations escalated, the Church began to speak out against his rule. Church leaders criticizing the regime. Priests and bishops condemned the regime's brutality and corruption. Religious persecution. Trujillo responded by targeting outspoken clergy, shutting down religious schools, and arresting dissident priests. Public support for the church. Many Dominicans, unable to express opposition through political means, rallied behind the church's defiance. Growing resistance and the first signs of decline, 1948 to 1950. By the end of the 1940s, pockets of resistance against Trujillo were beginning to form, both within the country and abroad. Exiled Dominicans organizing resistance. Groups in Cuba, Puerto Rico, and Venezuela started coordinating anti-Trujillo activities. Underground press and secret societies. Despite censorship, clandestine newspapers and intellectual movements emerged to spread awareness of his crimes. Declining U.S. support. American policymakers, once tolerant of Trujillo's regime, began exploring alternatives to his rule, fearing his continued reign could destabilize the region. Conclusion, a dictatorship at its peak. By 1950, Trujillo's power was at its zenith. He had transformed the Dominican Republic into a highly controlled state, using propaganda, economic growth, and strategic alliances to maintain his rule. However, the seeds of resistance were beginning to take root, and opposition forces would soon challenge his grip on power. The next chapter will explore Trujillo's final decade, 1950 to 1961, the growing resistance movements, and his eventual downfall. Chapter 16, The Final Years and Downfall of Trujillo, 1950 to 1961, The Height of Trujillo's Dictatorship, 1950 to 1955. By the 1950s, Rafael Trujillo's grip on power was stronger than ever. His reign had transformed the Dominican Republic into a tightly controlled state, where his presence dominated all aspects of political, economic, and social life. However, despite his outward display of power and invincibility, cracks in his control had begun to emerge. Economic overreach. While the economy grew under Trujillo's direction, his monopolization of industries alienated business owners and foreign investors. Tighter repression. The Military Intelligence Service, SIM, expanded its reach, increasing surveillance and punishing even minor forms of dissent. Increased international scrutiny. Reports of Trujillo's human rights abuses and political assassinations began to reach international audiences, leading to growing diplomatic tensions. Trujillo's strategy for maintaining power was a combination of intimidation, economic control, and aggressive nationalism. He sought to make himself indispensable to the nation, but in doing so, he also created numerous internal and external enemies. The decline of U.S. support in foreign relations, 1955 to 1958. Initially, Trujillo had enjoyed diplomatic support from the United States, as his anti-communist stance aligned with American Cold War policies. However, as his repressive tactics became more widely known, his international standing began to deteriorate. The failed assassination of Romulo Betancourt, 1960. Trujillo attempted to assassinate the Venezuelan president, a move that outraged Latin American leaders and led to sanctions and diplomatic isolation. Economic sanctions from the U.S. By 1958, the U.S. government, under President Dwight D. Eisenhower, imposed trade restrictions and withdrew key diplomatic ties. Alienation from the Catholic Church. The Church, which had been neutral for much of his rule, began openly criticizing Trujillo's brutality and moral corruption. Despite these setbacks, Trujillo remained convinced that he could hold on to power indefinitely. His paranoia and obsession with eliminating all threats led him to make increasingly reckless decisions. The assassination of the Mirabal Sisters, 1960. One of the most infamous crimes of Trujillo's regime was the brutal murder of the Mirabal Sisters, who had become symbols of resistance against his rule. Opposition from the Mirabal Sisters. The Sisters, known as Las Mariposas, the Butterflies, were actively involved in underground movements against Trujillo's dictatorship. Ordered execution. On November 25, 1960, Trujillo's forces kidnapped, tortured, and murdered the Sisters, staging their deaths as an accident. Public outrage. The killings shocked the Dominican population and solidified anti-Trujillo sentiment, fueling the growing resistance movement. Internal opposition and the growing resistance, 1960 to 1961. Despite Trujillo's ruthless repression, opposition forces had been organizing both within the country and in exile. Underground revolutionary groups, secret organizations such as the June 14th Movement, continued working against the dictatorship. Exiled political leaders. Prominent Dominicans living abroad coordinated international pressure and military plans to overthrow Trujillo. Loss of military loyalty. Some of Trujillo's top military officers began questioning his leadership, sensing that his rule was becoming unsustainable. The dictator's increasing paranoia led him to turn on his own allies, further isolating himself. His brutal tactics only strengthened the resolve of his enemies. The assassination of Trujillo, May 30, 1961. With internal resistance mounting and international pressure increasing, a group of high-ranking Dominicans decided that the only way to save the country was to eliminate Trujillo. The plot, a group of Dominican military officers, former government officials, and civilians formed a conspiracy to assassinate Trujillo. The ambush. On May 30, 1961, Trujillo was ambushed and shot dead while traveling in his car outside Santo Domingo. Aftermath. His death did not immediately end the dictatorship, as his family and allies attempted to retain power, leading to a period of uncertainty and violence. The fall of the Trujillo regime, 1961 to 1962. While Trujillo's assassination was a turning point, his political network remained in place, creating a power struggle over the future of the Dominican Republic. attempted continuation of Trujillo's legacy. His son, Ramphis Trujillo, tried to seize control, but public uprisings and international pressure forced him into exile. Collapse of the military control. Many generals and top military officials, seeing the writing on the wall, abandoned the regime. Transition to democracy. By 1962, the first democratic elections in decades were held, marking the beginning of a new era for the Dominican Republic. Legacy of Trujillo's dictatorship. Trujillo's death marked the end of an era of extreme oppression, but left the Dominican Republic in political and economic turmoil. The damage caused by his regime would take decades to repair. Economic aftermath. While the Dominican economy had grown under Trujillo, his monopolization of industries had created deep inequalities that persisted long after his death. Social and psychological impact. Generations of Dominicans had grown up under fear and repression, leading to a long period of national healing. Symbol of resistance. The Mirabal Sisters became a lasting symbol of courage, and November 25th was later declared the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women in their honor. Conclusion: the fall of a dictatorship. Trujillo's downfall was not just the result of one assassination, but the culmination of years of oppression, economic mismanagement, and international backlash. His regime left deep scars on the Dominican Republic, but it also inspired a generation of activists and leaders committed to building a freer and more democratic society. The next chapter will explore the transition to democracy, U.S. influence in Dominican politics, and the challenges of post-dictatorship governance.